content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Wall Street Journal, Money.com, AARP Bulletin, and Kiplinger Personal Finance. From the Wall Street Journal, a new U.S. law aims to reduce drug prices, but first, it might raise them. Pharmaceutical companies could try to blunt the limits on future price increases. Pharmaceutical companies are grappling with the arrival of sweeping new U.S. legislation meant to blunt drug prices. The impact in 2023 may actually be higher drug prices. President Biden last year signed into law the bill dubbed the Inflation Reduction Act, empowering Medicare, the country's biggest buyer of prescription drugs, to negotiate how much it pays for certain high-priced therapies. Another provision set a cap on price increases that requires drug makers to pay Medicare rebates on treatments whose prices rise by more than the rate of inflation. Jefferies Financial Group Incorporated analysts estimate the legislation could reduce pharmaceutical company revenue by about $40 billion through 2032. Many details of the law are still being finalized, and negotiated prices on an initial 10 drugs won't take effect until 2026. But in the near term, the legislation is likely to spur a couple of key pricing strategies, analysts say. To blunt the impact of limits on future price increases, companies are likely to launch new drugs this year at higher prices than they would have before the law passed, analysts say. They're also likely to raise prices on existing drugs more than usual, while high inflation gives them cover. The Inflation Reduction Act's requirement for companies to pay rebates to the government when prices of their drugs in Medicare programs increase by more than the rate of inflation starts this year. From July 2019 to July 2020, prices for about half of the medicines covered by Medicare increased by more than the rate of inflation, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. But that was before inflation surged. The industry clearly has to be sensitive to and thoughtful about increasing prices in light of inflation caps. But certainly, inflation is running at an abnormally high rate, says David Reisinger, an analyst at SVB Securities Limited. In addition, several other factors may help drive bigger price increases this year. They include the rising cost of business related to inflation, supply chain issues, and research and development, as well as rebates that are paid to middlemen, Mr. Reisinger says. Some analysts say you can already see the impact of the new legislation. Bristol Myers Squibb company launched a new autoimmune drug called Sotecto in September after the law passed, at an annual cost of about $75,000, much higher than some existing rival drugs in the market, Mr. Reisinger notes. Most patients don't pay manufacturers list price, which don't reflect rebates, discounts, and insurance payments. A Bristol Myers Squibb spokeswoman said the company's approach has always been to price our medicines based on the value they deliver and takes into account healthcare systems' capacity to provide appropriate, rapid, and sustainable access to patients, among other factors. Higher launch prices are more likely for treatments of cancers and rare diseases, where the law may restrict future price increases, than in more competitive areas like diabetes or immunology, according to consulting firm ZS Associates. One of the most watched drugs may be the Alzheimer's treatment, lecanemab, from Eisai Company and Biogen Incorporated, which the FDA approved this month. Eisai said it would sell the drug at a price of $26,500 a year for the average patient. The Institute for Clinical and Economic Review, a nonprofit monitor of drug prices, had found a fair price would be in the range of $8,500 to $20,600 a year. Eisai says it's priced the drug below the company's estimate of the treatment's value to U.S. society of $37,600 to promote broader patient access, reduce overall financial burden, and support health system sustainability. Launch prices have already been climbing sharply for years. From 2008 to 2021, launch prices for new drugs increased an average of 20% annually, according to a study by Harvard researchers funded by Arnold Ventures and published last year in the Journal of the American Medical Association. In 2020 to 2021, roughly half of new drugs carried list prices higher than $150,000 annually, the researchers found. From Money.com, the best smart thermostats for your money, according to heating and energy experts. Just as teenagers today think it's so weird that old folks used to go to Blockbuster to rent movies and had to make do with something historians call dial-up internet, in just a few years, kids will think it's strange that people once had to leave the couch to turn the air conditioning up. Laziness is a big selling point for smart thermostats, which allow you to use your smartphone to control your home's temperature. Why set up if you don't have to? But beyond the uninterrupted couch time, smart thermostats are good for both your wallet and the environment. They make it very easy to heat or cool your home only when you need it, which cuts down on energy usage and saves you money. You can use your phone to track your energy usage over time, which will allow you to schedule exactly when you want your heater or fan to turn on. Or you can even tap your phone to adjust the temperatures as you are walking home. Many brands allow you to link up and control smart humidifiers and air purifiers, too, so you can control everything from one application. What's more, many smart thermostats are learning devices. They'll keep track of your preferences and habits, figure out what temperature it should be in the house throughout the day, and make adjustments accordingly. You can always override the automatic settings if you like. When you upgrade to a smart thermostat, you'll have to spend some money up front for a new device, and perhaps pay to have it installed by a pro if you're uncomfortable handling such tasks. But this is an investment that can pay for itself. The exact amount you will save depends on factors ranging from the device you buy, to your home size and energy needs, to how efficiently, or not, your heating and air conditioning was scheduled beforehand. If this sounds like a worthwhile investment to you, here are the best smart thermostats as recommended by technology experts. Ecobee Smart Thermostat. Not all heaters are made the same, and sometimes your home's heating system can point you in a direction for buying a certain thermostat. Ray Henry, an employee at the Canada-based energy rate comparison website, energyrates.ca, says. Most people who use baseboard heaters might find it frustrating to update to the smart thermostat, as there aren't many good options. Fortunately, the Ecobee smart thermostat gets the job done, both for baseboard users and homeowners with other heating systems. The Ecobee smart thermostat with voice control is one that I always recommend to those looking to get a smart thermostat, she says. It's Energy Star certified, meaning it has undergone testing to make sure it is in the top tier of energy efficiency. This helps you save on your energy bills over time, which is always our priority in recommending thermostats. Next, the Google Nest thermostat. A subsidiary of Google, Nest is one of the most well-known smart thermostat devices. According to Stephanie Smith, part of the heating installation crew at Fantastic Services, a one-stop shop for all home improvement needs in the UK, the US, and Australia, it lives up to the hype. Having a programmable thermostat like this one is a milestone that improves your comfort. The Nest Learning thermostat will never leave you out in the cold. That's because you rely on its self-programming ability to learn from your habits and temperature preferences, she says. Best of all, you save zillions of kilowatts of energy without doing anything shady. Your Nest Smart thermostat learns and remembers when you raise and lower the temperature, when you are at home, or when the house is empty, and it changes the temperature setting to save you the biggest bucks. That said, the upfront costs are fairly high, usually in the range of $220 to $250, depending on sales and promotions. Down the road, the smart thermostat is an investment in the long run. Its auto schedule and auto away features can save you from $131 to $145 a year, meaning that you start saving from the investment the moment you get it, she says. You can also be eligible for a rebate if your local administration offers this. Be patient, though. Your new smart gadget needs some time to learn what's the best temperature for you. The next one evaluated is the Hive Smart Thermostat with Hub. If you live in an area where the temperature suddenly drops, then Smith says the Hive, and that's H-I-V-E, active heating will help prevent cold weather headaches. The Hive active heating gadget won't leave you endangered. It's like a mini helper sentinel because it will notify you if the temperature is tuned up when nobody's home, preventing you from cost accumulation and overheating, says Smith. Feeling unprepared about the cold snap? No stress. The interface helps you to prevent pipe freezing, burst pipes, and costly heating system repairs. With its remote control, it's also handy if you're going to be delayed getting home. The next thermostat evaluated is the Honeywell Lyric T6 thermostat. According to Isabel Williams, a heating engineer at the UK-based property maintenance company, My Plumber, one of the selling points of Honeywell is that, like Nest, it will get to know your needs over time. Not only does the smart heating system know when you're leaving the house, but it switches from bright, active to idle, or vice versa, when you're near the gadget, she says. Temperatures adjust depending on how close you are. Once you get out of the radius preset on your app, your heating turns to energy saving mode automatically. Another selling point, she says, is that it's designed for ease of use. Because it's wireless, functionality and compatibility with smart technology, including Apple HomeKit and Amazon Echo, you can activate most of your smart home networks with a simple voice command, she says. Installation is a breeze, no more than 40 minutes to be exact. Though you might need to resort this task to a heating engineer, as you need to connect the supplied box with your boiler and the mains. And lastly, the Sensibo SkySmart air conditioner controller. There are budget-friendly options in the smart thermostat game, such as the Sensibo Sky. According to Yaniv Muscadine, the CEO of the Scottsdale-based telecommunications company, Nextiva, you don't have to worry about sacrificing quality for savings. This model can work with most voice-assisted smart home devices like Alexa, Google Assistant, Amazon Echo, or IFTT, making it a versatile addition to any intelligent home. Sensibo Sky features an intelligent climate management system that records the room's temperature, environment, and humidity conditions to automatically adjust the setting to the most optimal and economic levels, making it cost-effective for your energy bills. And from AARP Bulletin, your money isn't good here. While some businesses no longer accept hard cash, and what you can do about it. You see it at businesses ranging from massive stadiums to mom-and-pop shops, signs that firmly state, cash not accepted. Though credit and debit cards have been a regular payment option for decades, advancing technology and staffing trends have turned some businesses away from paper money altogether. The pandemic, with an emphasis on hygiene and social distancing, accelerated that trend. The share of cashless businesses more than doubled from February 2020 to February 2021. Here are answers to questions about what exactly is going on and what the trend might mean for you. I thought stores made more money if you paid in cash. Has that changed? There was a time when some businesses sought to avoid paying fees for credit card transactions by encouraging cash payments. But the dynamics of retail are changing. Now, even with those fees, which average 2.22% of each Visa or MasterCard transaction, a cashless business can be more profitable. Improved point-of-sale technology has made processing electronic payments much quicker than taking cash and making change, and that speed can increase total sales. Take the example of Sweetgreen. The salad restaurant chain experimented with going cashless in 2016 and reported that those stores recorded up to 15% more transactions an hour than its stores that took cash. Those locations also saved about 2 hours per day on cash management work, such as balancing register drawers and making bank deposits. This prompted the company to implement cashless operations at all stores, although it backed away from that after some customer backlash. Other business benefits of eliminating cash include simplified bookkeeping, as software tracks all transactions and splits out reports and a reduced risk of loss or theft. In some cases, businesses can reduce staff, such as at parking lots, where machines that process credit and debit card transactions have replaced attendants. One more bonus for the company. People generally tend to buy more and tip more when they use their plastic rather than cash, says Matt Schultz, the chief credit analyst at LendingTree. Where is all this headed? A 2021 survey by transaction tech company Square showed that most consumers and small business owners don't think cash will disappear entirely in the U.S., but attitudes are changing. In the survey, 22% of small business owners envision a full cashless society within 10 years. That's up from only 13% who thought that in 2019. How has the technology improved? You've probably noticed that many businesses have adopted tablet-based sales systems as a modern form of cash register. They often will allow you to enter a tip onto the transaction and tap your card to a sensor to complete the transaction in seconds. Other electronic payment options have emerged, including Apple Pay and Google Pay, which allow you to complete a transaction by holding your phone to a sensor. Depending on how you've set up your mobile wallet on your device, it either withdraws funds from your bank account or charges a purchase to your credit card. In a 2020 report by Marqeta, a payment technology company, nearly half of consumers ages 51 to 64 said that they use such technology, not just for retail transactions, but also to reimburse friends and tip service workers. One often given reason for this, paying with a phone often is handier than fishing a wallet out of a purse or pocket and pulling out a card. But there are other factors. Mobile payments are more secure even than the card itself because there's a biometric component, says Ted Rossman, senior credit card industry analyst for Bankrate. In many cases, you have to scan your face or your fingerprint to use the mobile wallet. Another pandemic-sparked trend driving the cashless economy is curbside and in-store pickup. Over the past 3 years, millions of older Americans began ordering and paying for items through an app or website before going to the store or restaurant. Among adults older than 50 who started using curbside pickup during the pandemic, 18% say they'll continue the habit, according to a study from the Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, and the Scan Foundation. Even for those who don't continue with curbside pickups, the fear and confusion of paying electronically has been overcome. Also note that you don't lose out on reward points or rebates by using a mobile payment instead of a card. The same benefits apply based on the account the payment is tied to. Why are consumers reacting, and how are they reacting? It would be simple to say that older people lack the technological skills to adapt to cashless payments. But credit card companies have been around since the 1950s. Automated teller machines and debit cards became common in the 1980s, and consumers adopted debit cards wildly for in-store transactions in the 1990s and 2000s. More likely, many of those who grew up in an earlier era may prefer the psychology of paying with cash. I feel I have more control over my money, says Michael Stevens, 67, a furniture restorer in Massachusetts. Cash is the legal tender for this country. You should be able to pay for a service or an item with it. About 15% of Americans age 55 and older use cash for most or all purchases, according to a 2022 Gallup poll. Nearly two-thirds of people ages 70 to 87 don't own a smartphone, which keeps them from making mobile payments and in-app purchases. And some people simply prefer cash to keep from overspending or because of privacy concerns, says Tom Camber, executive director of Senior Planet from AARP, a technology education service. A movement away from cash disadvantages older adults if it becomes required, Camber says. You've got a real risk of creating serious social inequities. Schultz says the issue isn't limited to any demographic. There are people of all ages, races, income levels, and types who would prefer to pay with cash, he says. If you eliminate cash, you leave a lot of people behind. Is refusing cash even legal? It is true that these words are printed on U.S. currency. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. But historically, there were no laws that said a business must accept cash. Some cities and states have passed laws in recent years to make sure consumers can pay with cash in most instances. Some examples are New York City, Philadelphia, and San Francisco, as well as New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. In 2021, a bill was introduced in the House of Representatives that would establish a federal law prohibiting businesses from refusing cash. Schultz doesn't think such a federal law will pass, but he feels it could help consumers, particularly the 5.9 million unbanked Americans, those without bank accounts. Some businesses are coming to this conclusion, too. When Sweetgreen reversed its decision to go fully cashless, a statement from the business said, "Everyone in the community needs to have access to real food." And our last article is from Kiplinger Personal Finance, and we will see if we'll get this in completely before the end of our show today. The title is, "Are Series EE Bonds Worth a Look?" Since high inflation took hold in the U.S., Series I savings bonds, which offer an inflation-linked interest rate, have enjoyed a moment in the sun. I bonds purchased from November of 2022 through April of 23 offer a lofty composite yield of 6.89%. The Series EE savings bond is the more demure cousin of the I bond. Like I bonds, EE bonds are issued by the Treasury Department and backed by full faith and credit of the U.S. government. But rather than include a variable inflation rate in their yield, they offer only a fixed rate. Series EE bonds issued from November of 22 through April of 23 yield 2.1%, a big jump from the 0.1% that newly issued bonds offered for several years before that. Should you invest? Currently, the EE bond yield is unimpressive compared with those of I bonds and other high-yield savings options. Rates on top-yielding savings and money market deposit accounts are hitting 4%, and certificate of deposits are yielding as much as 5%. For example, a 27-month CD from Sallie Mae Bank through deposit platform Save Better recently had a 5% rate. For most of your savings, those alternatives make more sense. As with I bonds, you can't redeem a EE bond within the first 12 months. And this article will be edited today due to time constraints. We're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and please be sure to listen to us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.